Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Good morning, welcome to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to the best internet program on the net. Are you ready? Are you ready to go about your father's business? Are you ready for ministry? I hope you are. If not, we have a couple of guests that's going to come on here. They're going to encourage you. But before we go any further, we'd just like to thank you for continuing to support and follow this ministry. This show is called Free on the Inside, and freedom comes from God. And freedom don't come from your knowledge and your know-how, your talent. Your money comes from God, and we want you to know that. We want you to know that you're not alone in what you do. There's many men and women that's out there doing ministries on the battlefield for our Lord, and you too can join in the conversation after you hear our guests, and you can call in and you can make comments regarding that. I'll ask some questions on how you could be a part of their ministry. That call-in number is 310-982-4126. It's the call-in number, and we would like to thank you once again for supporting this program. This program is sponsored by Granny's Place, a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our young men and women at risk. Granny's Place ministry goes to the jails, the prisons, and the street and homeless shelters, and also go to juvenile facilities. So please make yourself available to hear more from Granny's Place ministry. Go to our website. Good morning. You're just listening to a part of our last week program, episode 650 on Blog Talk Radio, Free on the Inside. We're running that show because it was in demand this week. A lot of people call up and say, hey, I need to hear the program, and they were having a little problem at the studio. So we're going to run that program again for our listeners so they too can be blessed by the two guests that was on our program on the 8th of August. We run this archive program because we are going to be busy today. We have a message we need to do this morning at the 11 o'clock hour, and then after then we're going over to the juvenile facilities and we're going to share with our young men. And then after that we're going over to our senior citizen center that we go over there once a month on the third Saturday of each month. We're going to go over there and share the gospel with them and encourage them to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And also next weekend, August the 22nd, we're going to be at the Dallas Life Foundation, the Dallas Life Center. We're going to be over there serving lunch. We're going to be serving lunch to the residents. They have about 300 residents. It's a family shelter, and we've been doing this for a number of years. This is our 9th year of serving lunch over there. So I thank God for my church and for God continually to open those doors up. And my church, I never mention it very often, but I go to Shady Grove Baptist Church. So Shady Grove Baptist Church and its members are going to be over at Dallas Life on Katy Street near downtown Dallas. And we're going to be serving lunch over there. The show is going to be broadcast live from that site. We'll start the show at 9 o'clock next Saturday, and we'll have some guests from the center down there. They'll come on and they'll share what God is doing in their life. We also have some of the volunteers to come on and share their experience and how they'll continually to be faithful in the ministry that God put to their hands to do. But without any further delay, we're going to continue to listen to last week, episode 650, with Brother Polk and Minister Blue. They're going to share with you some things that are dear to their heart and ask you to continue to follow this program. And I'll talk with you later. God bless you. Enjoy the program.
He's always looking over them and that he's mindful of them. And if they have it, you know, because it's hard out there in the streets, when you started from the bottom, we try to provide them shelter and a place of rest, you know, where they can be more mindful of God, more mindful of his ways and the things that he has for them. And we do that, we've been doing it for a year or so every Sunday. We go out and feed him, encourage him, and love him.
You know, Jeffrey, you were saying that you've been doing it for a year or so, man, but yet you keep doing it. I saw you a couple of times at it, man, and it seemed like you were on fire, man. After a year or so, you're still on fire for the Lord, brother. Now, tell me now, as you go out and you're meeting the needs of these men and women, they address some things that they're concerned with. And can you share some of that with us and what your ministry is doing to meet that need?
You know, after when you see individuals that are going through and you can tell on their face that they're actually down, the Holy Spirit is eternal and our Lord is eternal. So he has that eternal fire in us. So by that actually living in me, it keeps me fired up. It keeps me going. It keeps me mindful that he's loving me and he's loving them. So when I see them in a situation and I have a personal communication with them, they open up and by me having that desire to really help, then they begin to tell me other things that potentially they would actually need some help with. You know, whether it be some shoes, you know, they're trying to do a job interview, but they don't have any clothes because they got to sleep somewhere with their clothes. It tends to, you know, get dirty, or, you know, hygiene products, or, you know, they want to brush their teeth to present themselves to people. Or, you know, it might be a place to stay. And that tends to be a lot of the issue. You know, they're really looking for a place of rest. So me hearing that throughout the time that I was doing that prompted me to say, well, hey, I want to open up a place for these people. I want to give these people an opportunity to have this rest, to have this peace, and to have this jumping stage to do the desires of their heart, which is to be successful and come up out of their current situation.
You know, Jeffrey, as you were sharing that there, brother, I know those are some challenges that comes up, but yet you find yourself faithful in those challenges when people address needs. And, you know, you can't help everybody, but you've been found faithful to help as many as you can. You know, as right. I see you going out there time after time after time, you're not alone. So tell us about your ministry team that you have along. You ain't got, you know, just give us as much information as you can, because a lot of people need to know, hey, I want to do this, but sometimes I feel like ain't nobody else out there. So share with us some things that you have brought together to be able to do what you do.
Right. Well, you know, my man, it hasn't been easy throughout the time. You know, it has been times where I hadn't received any type of donation. And I can recall one time I hadn't received any donations in. You know, the day was approaching, and I was like, Lord, all right, what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do? Is this a test? Or are you testing me? I don't have anything. And I got to, you know, feed these people. And my heart pushes me to stay faithful. It pushes me to not want to fail putting a smile on my father's face. And doing his will. So I made up in my mind. I said, well, come Saturday evening, if I don't get any donations, I'm going to go walk the streets and I'm going to go ask people for money. I'm going to humble myself and do what I have never did before and go out and stand in front of a store, walk the streets or whatever it takes to make sure I get what needs to be gotten to feed, to clothe, and to encourage these people. So I go out and that's what I did. That night, I did that. Woke up the next morning. We was actually able to feed. Volunteers, you know, came with extra. And my team of volunteers are some of the most compassionate people, man, you can ever meet, brother. I mean, they really, it's really in their heart. You know, the people that are in need and all down and is heavy burden, you know, they can sense that and they can feel when you're really genuine and when you really mean what you're doing. And I'm blessed to have individuals that they love what they do. They love what they do. At times it'll be a large amount of us. At times it'll be a small group of us. And everyone's pitching in because this is not just something I've put together And, you know, it's my ministry. It's all ours. So we all pitch in. We all, you know, well, we might have one volunteer, well, hey, can I cook this? I want to cook this, and I want to put together this. Go ahead. And have someone else, you know, they want to do, put together also another meal. So we end up having a collab of meals out there. And we all working together in one body, ministering and loving God's people.
That's tight.
And I know a lot of individuals, because I've had individuals, you know, come up to me and they're, well, what do we do? You know, how do we do it? I've been wanting to do it for a while. You know, the Spirit been moving and tugging at my heart. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know, you know, where to go. And I always advise the brother or sister, you know, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, because that it will do. That it will do, because you're doing the works of God. And it's to jump, excuse me, it's to jump out there with totally not really knowing what to do, and it's got you. You go out there with the small that you have, rather it be just sandwiches, if it just be snacks, you know, or if it just be water, you know, anything that you can give. If it's just yourself, give yourself away. You know, talk to
that's
people,
awesome.
Give yourself
that's,
away.
That's okay. You know what? We was talking off air prior to us coming on, and we were sharing some of the things that your ministry and other ministry had put together to bring. Give us an idea, because someone said, hey, I like what Jeffrey is saying. I want to do that, but I don't know what I need to do. So just give us a sampling of what you and your ministry team takes out there to encourage other people that, you know, that God can still use them in that.
Right, right. You know, I started out with sack lunch. I was like, well, let me just, you know, get them some sack lunches. I take the time, I make all the sandwiches, and I would put the snacks also in the sandwiches, chips, you know, other knick-knack sacks. And a lot of the things you can purchase at the dollar store, you know, especially Dollar Tree. Dollar Tree has become my place, you know. At first, I wasn't too much shopping in there, but, you know, buying a good amount of snacks and things like that, my man Dollar Tree become my friend. So I get a lot of snacks. Right on. You know, the sandwiches start out with the sandwiches and snacks and water. And then I get, you know, as we start to get down there, the next following times, I seen a real need. It's always in my spirit, Lord, what can I do extra?
Yeah.
I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to do more. What is it? So as that desire stays in me, and stayed in me, I decided, well, let's start cooking. Let's cook. And with the volunteers, man, they was loving that. And to see some of these godly men and women, man, in the kitchens, and, you know, they taking pictures and they putting their soul in this. And you can make a meal that can feed numbers of individuals, more than actually you believe them. Because the Lord is always up to something.
Yes,
you can make a pot. You can make a pot of spaghetti, and that pot of spaghetti will actually feed a large amount of individuals. Any type of good pot of beans, you know, rice and beans, cornbread, or things of that nature.
That is so true. You know, Jeffrey, last week I saw you down at Street Ministry, and it blew me away, man, and my heart rejoiced. I saw you and several other ministries bringing in what y'all had, and y'all combined it, man. And that was powerful, brother. You're like, someone had this, someone had that. These were different ministries, man, but they all were serving the same purpose. You know, it blew me away. Now, what do you get out of that when you see other ministries come alongside? You never met them, but yet they willing to share their resources and also do what you do. You know, because sometimes we feel like we're the only one doing it.
Right, right, right. And it has been at times where I look around and it's just us. I wonder, you know, I need to do more. I want to get more individuals involved. So when I see my other brothers and sisters out there, man, I'm quickly identified with their spirit. and for the sole reason of, I know the enemy can't love. The enemy can't love. The enemy, our enemy can't give compassion. And by me knowing that, when I see my brothers and sisters out there, and they're giving from their heart, they're standing in that heat, or they're standing in the cold, or, you know, they're taking time out of their day to give their self away, I'm inspired by it. And I know that we have the same spirit, so I will walk over and I connect with them. Well, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I see you have this. And, you know, it was last Sunday. I had my man Chris out there. It was his first time ever out there feeding. He jumped in and didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do either. But he said, hey, I'm finna do something. I wanna help. I want to give. He had hot dogs. Bought him some wings, had him some buns, had the hot dogs. We had nachos. Ran out of chip. He had the hot dogs. We had the chili. So we combined those two together. And, man,
you know, I'm laughing at that call. It's amazing how God able to bring. And now, Father, listen, audience, Chris was the guy that had the little grill on the back of the truck, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that blew my mind. Yo, he came out there. He had his little grill on the back of the truck, on the back of his bed, and he was actually cooking there, fixing sandwiches, and then pass them off of you and your ministry was doing other things to it. And I said, man, that's amazing, man, how God was able to bring those two ministries. And then another ministry came alongside of you and finished it off. So everyone had an opportunity to get a complete meal, and not only a meal, but a show of love, bro. That's what it's about, man.
Right.
Help change
right.
lives in the name of Jesus. Now, man, this has been a great interview here, but I would never let you get out of here, man, without telling us about your homeless ministry, man. A home for the homeless, man, called Rest Easy. I'm looking at your card, man, and I get a sense of peace out of looking at that card, brother. Tell us about that. How did that come about?
It came about through just working the works of Christ for a while like that. Seeing the needs, I'm talking to the people and hearing their desperation of wanting to get out of a place, you know, wanting to do it. And a lot of our brothers and sisters don't have family members. You know, I've met families that down there during a severe storm, they lost everything. So they went from having everything to a flood or what have you, took everything. So now they're down there. They don't know what to do. They from somewhere else, have no family, ain't got nowhere to go. So it's hard on them. And having the Lord in my spirit and inside of me and constantly standing His word, I was reminded of the scriptures that said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink of water. And so on. And then he quoted, and well, he said the phrase, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. So I'm like, all right. Because I'm constantly asking, what more can I do? And then he showed me, what more can I do? Open up my place. Open up my home. Open up a place to provide shelter for strangers, individuals I don't know, and provide some type of assistance for them. And I make it my duty. That's what I do. I live and I strive and I go off of helping other individuals. Whatever that needs to be.
That's powerful. No, man. And you know what? That gives you that freedom, man. You have to have that freedom to do these things, brother. And, you know, that's what our ministry is about, man. That's what we're about. That's what God told us, man. He said, hey, now go down forth and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And lo, I'll be with you. Wait a minute. I mean, that's a sense of freedom there, brother. He's commanding you to be free, to go out there, regardless of what the world say, regardless of what your finances say about you. Hey, we can't do this. We ain't got enough money. Regardless of what people say about you, man, you had that free. I love that, man. I love about what your ministry and other ministries are doing.
And you know what, my man, I was working. I had a decent job. I was coming to the Lord for a while. I was like, Lord, will you take care of my needs? I know you said you'll take care of my needs, but will you really take care of my needs? You know, I mean, if you really take care of my needs, you got me. I go, I jump out for you. So I'm constantly asking him. He's sending me confirmation. I'm still scared, and I'm still wondering about, dang, do I keep working, keep my job, provide for this, or should I let him provide my needs? You know what, brother? I had made up in my mind. I said, all right, I'm going to solely work for the Lord. Lord, I'm jumping out here in faith on your word. You said I'm more important to you than a bird. And if you attend and look out for the birds, you'll look out for me as I do your will. And my man, I don't even work. All the food, all of everything, the rent, everything is all God.
Oh, man, that's faith, powerful. That's a great testimony. Faith. Oh,
and
man.
He's still faithful.
Yes, and you know what? Someone need to hear that, man. Someone need to know, man. You got to put your trust in the Lord. You know what? We all struggle, man. I don't care who you are. I bet you T.D. Jakes struggles sometimes. I bet you Tony Evans struggle. But you, even though you struggle, even you know, I'm saying that because even Jesus, you know, they say when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, said, "Father, if it be any other way, let this cup pass me." He was struggling with his vanity. But his spiritual man pushed on, brother. And I love that, man, because we struggle, brother. The physical man, he struggled, brother. But the spiritual man said, go forth. Brother, you answered that call. You answered that call, man.
Right.
And, you know
it was
what,
hard,
brother?
It was hard.
Yeah, it is. You know, this interview is coming to an end. Now, people would like to find out more about your homeless ministry shelter. Information. Give us a website and some information that you care to share so someone can call you up and say, "Hey, Jeffrey, I like what you're doing. I want to support what you're doing. I also have someone that may need your assistance." And other people say, "Hey, Jeffrey, I could help you also." Because this is an informational type network, brother. We want to share the gospel. We want to encourage one another to be strong in the Lord.
Right on. The website is actually currently being built this week, but the group and everything that coincide with the group is on Facebook, Rest Easy, Helping Others. And Easy is spelled E-A-Z-Y, Rest Easy, Helping Others. And my contact number, if there happen to be anyone out there that you guys might know or, you know, even yourself might need some type of assistance, my number is 214-810-6447. Yeah, my man. And with the group, you will see a lot of things I'm pushing toward putting together a march. And we also got a petition. I would encourage you guys to sign the petition that I have on that. Because, you know, in 33 different states, they're banned or actually have banned feeding homeless. You know,
yes,
it,
I know about
illegal.
That, yeah.
Yeah, you get tickets or face jail time. And I believe it's an attack against the works of Christ, you know, to ban compassion. So, yeah, I would definitely encourage anyone to actually check out the Facebook page. And I encourage donations. We're always in need of your donations. And then you can rest assured they will be used righteously. And always looking for volunteers, always looking for brothers and sisters that love our Lord and really have a desire to serve him.
Amen. God bless you. You gave us some information there, contact number. Please listen to the audience, follow up on that. If you have any questions for Jeffrey, the phone line lit up, or people say they just want to listen, they just want to be encouraged. Bro, you're an encourager, man, let me tell you. But that calling number is 310-982-4126. And Jeffrey will be available after the show, so please make use of that phone number that he's giving you. And go to the website there, that Facebook, Rest Easy, Helping Together, and follow up on that right there. I like that, brother, that helping there, because that's what our ministry talks about, helping change in life, help change a life. But somebody changed my life, man. I ain't always doing what I'm doing right now, man. I was messed up from the flow up, and someone told me about Christ, not one time, not two times. It was so many times I forgot, man. But guess what? I thank God for not giving up on me, man. You know how sometimes we get the mindset, we'll tell a person one or two times that we say, I ain't mess with them no more. They don't want to listen. Guess what? If God did us like that, we'd be messed up, bro. But he kept coming to us in different ways, man. It finally got us, man, because he said, hey, I have need of you. You know, I think so much of when Jesus got ready to go to Jerusalem, he sent his disciples in to pick up this donkey that was tied down. And I got thinking about me and you, brother, and all of us that are separated from Christ. We've been tied down, man. We live in life, man. We can only go so far because of our addiction, our bad habit, our attitude. We can only go so far. You know, we don't want you over here because we're going to mess this up. We don't want you because you don't do this. And Christ came and said, hey, loose them. I have need of them, man. I thank God for him loosening you and loosening me, man. And then he said, hey, I have need of them. Well, that's a powerful thing now, brother. I like what you're doing. Give us some contact numbers once again. So if anyone just came in, they can say, hey, man, I like what I heard. I won't follow up on it.
It's 214-810-6447. 214-810-6447. And the Facebook group page is Rest Easy Helping Others. And easy is spelled E-A-Z-Y. Rest Easy Helping Others.
Helping others. I like that, brother, helping others. Jeffrey, thank you for what you've done, brother. You truly have been an inspiration to me. It encouraged me, man, because as we do this ministry, as we on this ministry journey, sometimes we feel like we're out there all alone, brother. But because of ministries like you and who you attach with, we know that we're on the right track, man. We're on the right road, man. And we are in servants of the Lord, man. So it's a blessing there, bro. Hey, man, I tell you what, I look forward to seeing you again at the appointed place come tomorrow, brother. I know you will be there.
Man. Most definitely.
Yes, sir. You know, tomorrow I do jail ministry tomorrow, so I go down to the downtown Dallas, and I'll be down there serving for a little while tomorrow. And you know what, Jeff? I found out that the same people that's incarcerated, they end up on the street. And the same people that's on the street end up in prison. So it's a cycle, man, because of men like you and other ministries like yours. You're breaking that cycle, man. You're breaking that cycle. Man. Jeffrey, before we get out of here, man, give us a quick testimony, man, to tell us how ministries like yours and your ministry have changed the lives of men and women.
I've been doing it for a while. When you do it for a while and people see you, you know, on a continuously faithful basis, you touch people. People open up to you in ways that you wouldn't believe. You hear them tell their testimony and their life and how they got to where they had actually became. I remember one brother, he was asking for some shoes, and I made it my priority to get those shoes for him. I came to him, got him, and the next following week, he came up to me. The tears in his eyes. Man, I'd like to thank you, man. I'd like to thank you. And I actually done got a job 40 hours a week, man. Thanks for the clothes. And no matter where I go, I'll never forget you. And I done heard that several times from different people, and I always say, hey, you know, thank God. Don't ever forget him. Every time you look down at those shoes or look at those clothes, you know, thank him. And, you know, I get to laugh. I remember one dude, he said, yeah, you're right, but I never forget you, though, still. And, you know, it's powerful, man. It's powerful when you see and hear the generosity from people that are thankful, man. Really thankful that people come out there. You know, you don't even have to speak to them. It's just your actions speak. And your actions speak more than your words.
Amen. That's so true. Jeffrey, bro, we got to get out of here. We got some more guests that's on the line here. Man, you know what? I want to invite you to come back again to keep us updated on what's going on with you in the ministry, brother. Because I know God is going to do some great things through you and through the ministry. Some people's lives are going to be changed, man. People's hearts are going to be turned to the gospel. And once they restore, they're going to strengthen someone else. I mean, they're going to give back, man. That's what the ministry is about, brother, giving back.
Amen.
And so please continue to be strong in the Lord and follow this Blog Talk Network for other great guests that's doing what you do, brother. That way you can encourage yourself on Saturday mornings, man. You know, you say, man, I need somebody that can do what I'm doing. And then you too can maybe call in and get some information from our future guests.
Yes, sir. I most definitely will. And I'm so, once again, I'm thankful, my man, that you had me on the show. And I'm actually proud to say, call you my brother, man, because you're doing some powerful things out here yourself. You're inspiring, and that's what the Holy Spirit do, inspire. So I'm glad to see you, man. Thank you again.
Well, God, I tell you what, you hold on, man. We're going to bring our next guest in, and you listen to what they have to say, man, and be a part of what else is going on in the kingdom, okay?
Right on, right on.
All right, God bless you, man. What a great interview that we had with Brother Jeff today. Amen, amen. Now we have our next guest on the line. You too can be a part of this conversation and these great topics that we're sharing this morning at the call-in number is 310-982-4126. You too can call in. But right now we have our next guest up here. I spoke with this young lady. I'm encouraged by what she's doing, and she's a great woman of God here. And she have a compassion and a love for the ministry and God's people to the point that she travels. She goes abroad, and she's out to encourage other men and women to be about our Father's business, but not only encouraging, but also putting something together so they can be empowered and impacted to change life. At this time, I would like to introduce you to Minister Adrienne Blue. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
Oh, we had just finished talking with Brother Jeffrey. That was a great interview. That Brother Jeffrey, he hosts a homeless ministry and work with homeless people, similar to what you're doing. But your ministry calls you to go abroad. So please introduce yourself and tell us about what God have you doing at this season.
Well, the name of my ministry is called Royalty Ministries, and it's based off of 1 Peter 2:9 that says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that ministry scripture is based off of the fact that we are all royalty in the kingdom of God. We are not only just heirs to God's throne, but we are co-heirs with Jesus. And when we understand who we truly are in Christ as royalty, it should make our attitudes change about sharing the gospel, that we would want so many other people to be a part of this ministry, be a part of the kingdom. And so, as you stated earlier, I have traveled abroad. I literally just returned a week ago from Nashuro, Zimbabwe, where we saw over 5,000 people come to Christ with a team of 14 individuals from the United States. And it was an amazing opportunity. And it's so important for African Americans to go to Africa so that they can see us evangelize to them.
And that is so true. That is so true. And I thank God for you having that desire, that passion, and that ability to go over there to encourage us to be about our Father's business. Now, I'm looking at your website now, and I see some very beautiful pictures of your trip to Zimbabwe. Tell us about some of the images that the listening audience can expect to see when they go to your website.
Well, when we went to Nashuro, I would have to say that it was the poorest state and country that I've ever seen in my life. And while we were there, we found out that Nashuro, Zimbabwe, was the second poorest country in the world. And it literally felt like we had come to the end of the earth. But in spite of the fact that those people may not have had running water or electricity, they still had a heart for the gospel. And they were eager to learn how to share the message and how to have discipleship and learn how to grow. And so they were so eager. And I was telling one of my friends that when we got there, we were picked up from our hotel with our driver, and you were dropped off to your location, and you had a translator, but throughout the entire day, you were with them all by yourself, and we didn't see our team until we would return back to the hotel in the evenings. And not one time was I nervous or afraid about being out all the way on the other side of the world and not know anyone. And not speak the language because they treated us like kings and queens. They treated us like family, and they were eager to share the gospel. So the pictures that you see on my webpage are just pictures of all the events that happened throughout the week with the opening and the closing rally and walking throughout the dusty roads of Zimbabwe sharing the gospel.
All right. Now you're saying this was a very poor and rural area. Give us an idea of some of the living conditions and how, even though they're living like that, they still have a desire and they still have a craving for the gospel.
Well, most of the people in Shiro, they live in a hut. They may have had one or two huts on their property, but they did not have running water. They did not have electricity. They would have to walk for miles to a well that was dug in order to bring water back to their areas. So the majority of the people couldn't farm because there's not enough water to farm. They may have lived off of $200 or $300 a month as a family, and most of the homes had two or three or four kids living at the house, and they would drive on donkeys with carts, and that was the way that they traveled. And the majority of the people did not have shoes, and even the pastor of the church that I was working at the time there, he wore the same clothes every single day because that was all the clothes that he owned. And I know that there was one individual had a pair of shoes, but one was an Adidas and the other shoe was a Converse. So he didn't even own a pair of the shoes that had the same brand name. And so this was the state that you would see. The schools didn't even have electricity. So once it started getting dark outside, you barely could see inside of the classroom. And that's the state of the poverty that these people are living in.
Hey, man, you know, you listen to stuff like that and it breaks your heart. But yet they still make themselves available for the gospel. And here we are, we have all the luxuries and amenities. They consider us to be rich, even in our poorest state here in the state. But yet, you know, sometimes we dismiss God. Man, tell me, now, when you share the gospel, the presentation and the change of their persona, even though they look past their earthly wants and needs and how the gospel is able to change their lives.
Yes, it did. And it was amazing that the very first day, that Sunday after our rally, we were each placed into the areas that we would be ministering to for the rest of the week. And I preached that morning, and my interpreter did a little bit of a Bible study, and then we taught them how to use, which is called an evangel cube, to be able to share the gospel. And it's basically a cube that has pictures of the story of Christ. And they were so excited that they didn't want to wait till Monday to start sharing, but we went out on that day, and we walked about 15 miles sharing the gospel because the homes are so far apart. There was one time we walked 45 minutes before we actually saw another house on the side of these mountains that we were walking up and down. But it was still an amazing opportunity. And they were so eager that they shared throughout the entire week. All I had to do was preach and teach and do discipleship. And they did the sharing of the gospel for the rest of the week.
Oh, that's powerful. We're talking about this here because we want people to be encouraged that the gospel is alive and well. Sometimes we get kind of complacent at the gospel. We get up on Sunday, we go to church, and we come home, and we have to realize that some people are excited, and some people wish they was in your shoe. They wish they was in your shoe, you know. And
Bibles are scarce there, too. And so we take for granted how we can just go to the store and buy two or three Bibles, and that's not the case in Zimbabwe. That's not the case at all. Hello? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I was just fascinated by what you were sharing, you know, because it kind of threw me back because I realized, you know, I was homeless. And I thought it couldn't get no worse than that. I go to do homeless. Mm-hmm. I went last night with the Breath of Life Ministry, and we done an encampment, a homeless encampment. And the people, they had igloo tents. When I was homeless, we were staying in boxes and other pallets and stuff. And now they live in igloo tents, you know, but they still homeless.
Wow.
And I see now that there's still a need for going out and reaching God's people. Sometimes we feel like, hey, they don't want anything. But, yeah, they do want it, but they just trapped in a life of sin, kind of like anything else. A sin is sin,
yeah.
Whether you're homeless or whether you're a millionaire. If you're sinning, you're sinning. You know, sin has no respect of person. And so I thank you for
right.
what you're doing. Did you ever think in your wildest imagination that the ministry would be able to take you to where you're going at this time? Because, you know, that's a journey. That's like 33 hours. That, you know, sometimes we don't want to go an hour for a ministry.
But right.
You made yourself available to travel.
Yes, it was amazing. Well, this was my second trip to Africa. My first trip to Africa was to Sabasa, South Africa. And I thought that that was a long trip to go. We flew like 16 hours going and 17 hours coming back. But this trip to Nashoro, Zimbabwe, it was a total of 33 hours that it took us to get there from flying from DFW to Dubai, and then flying from Dubai to Zambia, and then from Zambia to Harare, and then from Harare taking an 8-hour bus ride to get to the area that we were going to. But it was worth it, and I would do it again, all because
Amen.
Of the souls that came to Christ.
You know, this has been a great interview. We have a phone line that's lit up here. We have a caller that would like to say something to you. And then we're going to come back, and then
okay.
we're going to visit the upcoming conference that you have in October.
Okay.
So we're going to bring a call in, and he's going to say something to you. Good morning, caller. You on the net? Brother Daniel.
Good morning. Hello, Reverend Lewis. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. We have Minister Blue on the line here. She was just talking about her missionary trip to Zimbabwe, and also she's going to bring up some other things. So do you care to say hello to her? She's on the net now.
Good morning.
Hello, Minister Blue. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm blessed today. I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you have any support from the other ministries around in America? Where are you staying at?
Where is my ministry?
Yes, ma'am.
My ministry is based out of Carrollton, Texas. It's basically an internet ministry outside of the fact of me speaking and teaching and preaching. I don't have a physical location, if that's what you're asking, but I am available to speak and teach and preach and teach leadership in any type of thing or any kind of capacity that you're looking for. My ministry is supported by my mentor, and I have a covering, as well as many people praying for me and upholding me and keeping my ministry before the Lord to help me do the things that God has called for my life.
Okay. And then I need to ask you another question. When you went over to Zimbabwe, did you get any kind of resistance from the government when you went over there?
Yes, we did. We were stopped going to Nashoro and coming back from Nashoro a total of 20 times by the police. And each time we would get stopped, my team and I would be in the car praying, and we didn't understand why we kept getting stopped and why we were being pulled over, but it didn't matter. Even though we had that opposition, we were still able to accomplish the goal, and 5,000 people came to the Lord.
Amen. Brother Daniel, I want you to hold on, man. We're going to have to visit some other things before we let her out of here, and we'll bring you right back. But right now, we want her to share about the upcoming conference in October. Minister Blues, give us some information about what to expect in October.
Well, the name of my conference is I Am Royalty, and obviously that's based off of the title of my ministry, Royalty Ministries. And the conference is open to both men and women to come to understand better who they are in Christ. We are focusing on having a shelter and giving them a day of royalty where they can experience what it means to feel like royalty, and we're bringing those individuals to the conference, and it's also open to non-believers because we want them to understand who Jesus Christ really is as the one, the only, the true living God, and that he can save anyone, no matter what you've done, where you've been, what your past is, or what your present is, that God is a God of forgiveness and that he wants you to understand who you truly are in him as an heir to his throne. And so we're going to have a red carpet and people taking your photos and people there with different resources for battered women's shelters and domestic violence and Christian counseling agencies, and we're also going to have vendors there who are going to be able to make our attendees feel like royalty. And we are starting off the conference with worship with a very blessed and gifted and talented woman named Angel Robinson, who will be blessing us with the worship music. And from worship, I will be speaking, and then we will also have a time of prayer, a prayer session, and an invitation to Christ. And so I'm so excited about our first conference on October the 2nd, and it's at the Addison Conference Center on 15650 Addison Road in Addison, Texas. And the doors will open at 6 o'clock, and the conference will actually start at 7:30.
Amen, amen. And now if someone would like to come over there to the conference, so give us some information on how to get there prior to showing up at the conference. Is there a pre-registration involved?
Yes, you can register at iamroyalty2015.eventbrite.com, and that link is also on the homepage of my website, which is royaltyministry.com, and you can click on there to register for the conference. And you can purchase as many tickets as you want for you, for your friends, for your family. We're just encouraging everyone to come out and experience our first conference. And this is not going to be the only one, but this is the beginning of our first conferences for the I Am Royalty Conference. And I am so excited about it.
Amen, amen. And, you know, I'm looking at the site now, and I see some beautiful T-shirts. Tell us about those T-shirts.
The I Am Royalty T-shirt is just a T-shirt to remind people when they see it that they are royalty, and for other people to ask questions to say, well, what does that mean? And that you are royalty in the kingdom of God. And so it's just a reminder, and we're having T-shirts for people to wear and available at the conference. If they did not get their early bird special T-shirt, they can pre-register the T-shirts online for the conference.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, your website. Give some information about your website and what people can expect to see when they go to your site.
Well, when they go to the website, they can get a lot of information about Royalty Ministries and what we do as far as our speaking engagements, preaching engagements, leadership seminars, teaching, what's available for them as far as our resources, as well as the different ministries that we've connected with and partnered with, such as the Center of Hope Women's Shelter, which is our charity. And at every opportunity that we have, when we do a workshop or when we have a conference, we allow our attendees an opportunity to bring donations so that we can be a ministry that not only goes and shares the gospel, but that we're giving back even in our own surrounding areas here in the United States. And so you'll also see the different missions trips that we've been involved in, and those aren't going to be the only ones, but there will be more missions trips that we will continue to partner with the International Commission Ministry, and that's the missions ministry that we've been involved with for the last 2 years. And they'll see pictures of those different things as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We're excited about what we see here and what you're being able to share with us. And we're encouraged about what you're doing in the ministry and how lives are being changed. Just give us a short testimony about the lives that have been affected by this ministry, I Am Royalty.
Well, I have, for the past 3 years, sent text messages of scriptures out every single day, Monday through Friday. And those scriptures alone, I get text messages throughout the day. Thank you, Adrian, for that scripture. I really needed it. It blessed my heart. It was right on time. And not only am I sending out the scriptures, but I'll post things on Facebook or on my Twitter account, just words of encouragement, or on my blog. And I'm also in the process of writing my first book. And all these different
Amen.
Things have come from individuals that have told me the life that I have lived, the things that I've done, the sacrifices that I've made, how it's blessed their lives. And because of that, because I understand that God has done so much for me in my life that I don't deserve, that I live my life 100% of the time to serve him and him only. And so I live this life for the purpose of sharing Christ.
You know, I'm amen, because, you know, I'm getting excited over here. We're having church all by ourselves here. Amen. What
mm-hmm.
a testimony. You know, this ministry is called Being Free on the Inside. And you have been sharing with me and our listening audience about that freedom that comes from God, that freedom that comes from our Lord and
yes.
Savior Jesus Christ, that freedom that allows you to go beyond your own comfort zone and your own safety
yes.
to reach the lives of others. What drives you to do what you do for the Lord? Because you could be at home, you could be shopping, you could just be relaxing, but yet you've been stirred up to be able to go out and have that freedom. When some people say, Adrian, you can't
yes.
do this. Adrian, it ain't right. Adrian, something may happen. But you have that freedom to be about our Father's business. Share that with our listening audience. Encourage them. They, too, could be free
well,
in the Lord. Hey, man, I pray you enjoyed that program. But go ahead and go back and listen to it its entirety and let Minister Blue tell you what gives her that freedom to do the things she do. We have our co-host on the line this morning. He wants to chime in on the things that he's experiencing in the Lord. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis.
Well, thank you for calling in, brother. What a great show we had. You know, we had a lot of people that asked about that show, so we ran it twice, man.
Yeah, I listened to it last week, and in fact, I was on it.
Yes, you was, man. And I thank you for supporting what we're doing. You know, we run an archive show today, but we're going to be at Dallas Life Foundation. But I want to hear from you before I share what we're going to be doing next weekend. What's going on with you today?
Well, I want to pray for what's happening around and, you know, town and around the cities and stuff. Just the spirit of murder, killing, and this unrest, general unrest between the youth and the police and stuff around in America and the state of Texas. In fact, we had a young man that was killed last week. You know, he was a successful, you know, he was a college student, a football player, and you know, he got killed. And we're trying to figure out what could make a person just basically do a 360-degree change in that personality and do something like that and have the whole world open to them and lose it all in just 1 minute of stupidity, you know?
Yes.
You know? And you look at it, it's other factors involved in this. You know, you have peer pressure. You have people making dares and dare you to do certain things. And, you know, sometimes you have initiations at different, you know, places. They tell, well, you do this and you be able to be one of us, you know. So you look at all that, what's happening to our youth in America, that's it's just a total it's just going too strong. It's too much happening. You know, it's just too regular. Every day, every other day, you find a person is losing their life to gunfire. So I'm saying I want to pray, and I want to, just get support from the people that we need to basically find a way to get people together. In fact, they're having a rally tomorrow, next week in Fort Worth, I think. Dr. Martin Luther King's son is coming down here and everything, you know. And so we need to, basically, we just need to get a grip on ourselves, you know. Get a grip.
And that's so true, though, Brother Danny. That's so true. I do juvenile ministry, and last weekend, these last setting, I talked to our young men, what are they fearful of? And someone was saying they fearful of dying, man. Here you are, you 12 years old. And, you know, when I was 12, I didn't think about dying, you know. But yet they think about dying, and they know, man, that this world is dangerous. They know that they living in a dangerous society, man, that you can get knocked off, as they like to say, in a heartbeat. And our young people, they don't see themselves having a future, brother. But I'm so glad that you mentioned that, man, because the scripture says those that are restored are the strength in their brother. Let them know, hey, man, you do have a future, regardless of what's been happening to you, the past that you have. You have a future.
Amen, amen. And that's the key to the whole thing, Reverend Lewis. Y'all and youth, they figured, hey, man, I don't have no future, man. My family's going nowhere. I don't know my dad. My dad's not around. He's not in my life. These people that are around me, this seems to be my only family. I got to identify with a group of folks that died doing bad things. And, you know, I just don't see no way out. No way out. But your way out is through Jesus Christ.
And that's through so true, homeless, Brother Dang.
People being homeless. Some people don't have jobs. Some people don't have a way to eat every day. They're going hungry. Some people don't have nowhere to stay, you know, and it's just a melting pot of different things involved. It's just going, and basically it's about to boil to a busting point, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to see that happen, not in my generation. I don't want to see this mass hysteria in the streets, you know?
Yeah, and then, you know, it's crazy, man, even with our election is coming up here in another year or so with the presidential campaign, how one side is saying the thing that they're going to do. And you know, and people are just losing hope. They don't know who to believe in anymore, man. You know, one person tell you one thing, and another person say they ain't telling the truth, and another person say you ain't telling the truth, and I'm going to do this. And everybody just confused, man. But the word of God is stable, man, is assured, man. It's the same, man. It's timeless. And so we need to put our trust and our hope in God. You know, today, Brother Daniel, I'm doing a message that's talking about walking with Jesus, talking about on the road to Emmaus. And sometimes, brother, as we go through life, we lose that hope, man. We lose it, man. You know, sometimes we feel disappointed. Sometimes we feel let down. Sometimes we feel frustrated, man, and on that journey, on that road of life, man. It happens to all of us.
Basically, what you're talking about, Reverend Lewis, you're talking about those two disciples are walking back. And they was around Jesus, but they didn't recognize him, right?
That's right. And I try to let people know Jesus is always there. He's there at the homeless.
He's always there.
Yeah, he's there. He's always there. Sometimes people lose hope. They say, "Where is Jesus? Where is God?" And he's just around. That's why I say, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see your hand at work, man. I got laid off, but Jesus is still there, man. I got health issues, but he's still there. I feel short.
Yeah.
I fell short on some things, man. And you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Dane. That's a pretty – I tell you what, we got to have a discussion around that. You know, we done had some people on here, civic leaders and organizers, man. We're going to revisit that because it's a time that we need to revisit those things. And, you know, that's
the
change
of
life, right?
I heard this brother was on the first day. He was talking about how they making laws, Reverend Lewis, about you even going out trying to – feed people, man. They arresting you for trying to help somebody. Man, that is total insanity. You know?
That's what I guess talked about last weekend, man. Yeah, they are. They're trying to pass that, man, because they want to hide the homeless community. They want to put them away. They said, well, is everybody's feeding them, so they're all coming out, and we want to stop that. And that way, it's kind of putting a new face on the city. You know, we don't have any homeless population. We don't have any men and women that are in need, you know, because you don't see them. So,
yeah.
Brother Daniel, man, we about ready to get on out of here. What are you doing at this time, man? You may mention that you're out somewhere doing something. You want to share that with our listening audience and encourage them to come on over and support what you're doing?
Well, basically, today when I'm over at my church, we got an outside free market. They got all sorts of vendors over here off of 6707 Hampton Road. And they can come over here and buy something. You know, they got some of everything. You know,
all right, well, thank you, then, for encouraging us to come on over. So anybody that's in the Dallas and Fort Worth area or in the Metroplex, make your way over to Hampton and support what Mr. Daniel at his church is doing, my friend, and you know, because they're about their father's business, and he have a heart and a passion for those that's less fortunate, and his church do too. Brother Dan, we about ready to get out of here. We're going to keep you, what you had made mention in prayer. We're going to close out with a word of prayer regarding that. But before we go, I'd like to say thank you to a very faithful listener. She's an author, Miss Vera Squire. She sent me a book, a copy of her book, Black Gumbo, and I have it on my bookshelf, and I read part of it, and I'm very pleased and impressed that she sent me a book and she autographed it, and I look at that book and I smile, and I want to thank my friend for sending me a copy of her book, Black Gumbo, and she listened to the show all the time, and we talk offline, and thank you. And I'm looking forward to you coming on here and sharing some more of your gifting and talent and some of your poetry with our listening audience to Miss Vera Squire. So you have an open invitation. So please give me a call as soon as you get a chance, and we'll follow up on that. And Brother Daniel.
Amen.
God bless you. Yeah. We're going to close out a word of prayer, brother, because that's something that's dear to your heart, man, that you just talked about our youth and having a future for our young men and women.
Heavenly Father, I'd like you to touch the heart of the people in the city of Dallas, the city of Irving, the city of Woodward, the city of Arlington, the city of Dallas, all over the nation. I want you to touch the heart of the people. Teach them to love each other. Teach them respect. Teach them respect people. We're not just people like animals or people that they have to pull guns on in order to kill and to make control. Teach them to love us and respect life. Teach them to respect the spark of life that's in the people, that God gives us the power and the authority to heal and to love each other. And that's one of the biggest things that Jesus really told his disciples. The best commandment is that you love each other. We got to learn how to love each other, no matter what kind of faults we got, no matter what sin you have done, you ought to forgive. We ask the Spirit and the love and forgiveness in our hearts. Teach us to learn how to love each other. Love the homeless people. Love the president. Love the person with a job. Love the person without a job. Learn the police. Love them. Love the person that just robbed a bank. Even though he did something wrong, he's still going before God one day, and he's going to get judged. But it's order for him to repent. Repent and ask God to forgive you. No matter what crime you ever done, God is there for you, and he's going to forgive you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Next weekend, we'll be over at Dallas Life. With our annual luncheon there called Feeding the Multitude, and we're going to have a great program. We're going to have guests over there from that center, and also some of the volunteers, and they'll come out and tell you about what God is doing in their life. So please call up and just chime in and add to the conversation, and you what makes the show what it is today. So God bless you. Thank you very much. Looking forward to talk with you again.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on today, Reverend.
Yes, sir. You are free on the inside. We're cleaning that program to inform you, to encourage you, to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus.